coast to coast in Canada, across North America, and around the globe in the World Wide Web. This is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2019 Subaru WRX and WRX STI, the atypical sports car. Subaru, confidence in motion, by the Subaru BRZ, the formula for performance, and by Continental Tire, for what you do. Tis another stellar Subaru Canada presentation of your National Radio Motorsport Authority, the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas, host and your anchor, and backed by special request from the all-star team, Jacob Smith for Donna Pollard, as our supreme commander in Raceline Master Control this week, Josh Santos manning the network. This week, post-win Media Center Sound with Toronto Indy winner Simon Pagenaud and his near-perfect weekend in Canada. We meet another rising Canadian racing star, 18-year young Roman DeAngelis from Bell River, that's near Windsor, in AM 800 CKLW coverage, who's been ripping up the Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Canada Series, plus a few more entries for the Subaru Race on Email Bag Trivia Contest. In the news, Newgarden goes late night in Iowa with Hinch on the podium, while Happy Harvick is nifty in New Hampshire. So for race fans everywhere, powerful sport, powerful radio, 27 years on the air across Canada, this is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Lewis Hamilton, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network with the latest news and opinion on the good old Raceline race wrap. Indy cars, oh, hotter than blazes in Iowa, and a very late one to boot. Severe thunderstorms delaying the start of the oval dash for 4.5 hours, with the green finally flying at 11:45 p.m. Eastern. After another brief rain delay, the checkers in this didn't fly until after 2 a.m. Eastern, with Penske's Joseph Newgarden leading all but 55 of the 301 laps for his fourth win of the campaign. Scott Dixon second, Canada's James Hinchcliffe, who won Iowa last year, third this time, his best finish of the season. But it's after 2 in the morning, Hinch.
It doesn't feel like it, but we're all pretty jacked up on adrenaline right now, so might not go to bed anytime soon.
No, I don't think any of us did. Points in the mid-Ohio, Newgarden leading Alex Rossi, who was sixth in Iowa by 29, with only 5 races to go for the season. IndyCar notes the world's certainly still buzzing after that emotion-packed pace lap drive by Robert Wickens and fiancée Carly in Toronto. Wick able to manipulate that Acura with special hand controls with skill and finesse. Team sponsor Aero Electronics, as you probably know, wired it in for Robbie, so I asked Aero CEO Mike Long if the same system couldn't be soldered into a full-blown Indy car if Wickens ever needed it.
It's very adaptable. We're showing off this technology because this technology could be for anybody in the world with Robbie's problem to get back on the road with a car and drive their own life.
Exactly. Right after Toronto, though, Wickens on social media once again to tell us he went under the knife to remove some support hardware from his legs to prevent a rear flaring of infection. Coming up, post-race sound, as we said, with Toronto Indy winner Simon Pagenaud in our first guest segment. NASCAR toiling in New England with lobsters at New Hampshire. Denny Hamlin was relentless in his pressure on Kevin Harvick, especially on that final lap, but not wanting to foul him. Hamlin always clean, settled for second. The win to Harvick, and that's his first of the season. Harvick staying out in the final cycle of pit stops to set himself up for the victory. Eric Jones arrived third. Cup points into Pocono. Kyle Busch, eighth at New Hampshire, leads Martin Truex Jr., who was sixth by just 17. NASCAR Xfinity at New Hampshire, that went to the untouchable, at least in this one. Christopher Bell. Trucks had the week off, but points-wise, still good news. Canada's Stuart Friesen is still second in the rankings, 34 behind Grant Enfinger. No wins yet, true, but Stewie is up there on the strength of 8 top fives and 9 top 10 finishes, which is pretty good in anybody's book. F1 is idle until the German Grand Prix at Hockenheim on the 28th, but there's lots going on in the meantime. American Haas F1 team principal Gunther Steiner reading the riot act to his drivers, former Raceline Radio guest Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen, after they crashed into each other again, this time of the opening lap of the British Grand Prix, at a time when the team's embroiled in a very messy tussle with a sponsor. With the off-track distractions, the legal battle dispute between Haas and backer Rich Energy 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 drink. The crash just rubs salt into the wound. I'll try and describe it if I can in a couple of lines. It ain't easy. Rich Energy wants to withdraw their support due to, they say, poor results, but the team declaring they're in breach of contract if they do that. But now the head of Rich Energy is now gone. Maybe they want to stay. We don't know. It's an entangled legal harangue. We'll let the lawyers get rich. With, if you'll pardon the pun, the Continental Tire Sports Car Report, brought to you by our friends at Continental Tire for what you do. How excellent it was to see our good buddy Okan Sen and our broadcast partners at Continental Tire with their display on Thunder Alley at the Toronto Indy, first time for the Conti crew. This gives me some definite ideas for next year. Stay tuned. Anyway, let's wrap up the IMSA Sports Car Lime Rock Connecticut tussle. Richard Westbrook darting past Earl Bamber with about 6 minutes to go in the two-hour affair to give the Chip Ganassi outgoing Ford GT its first win of the season, snapping Porsche's streak of five GTLM wins in a row. GTD to the Olsen Robichon Porsche for Canada's Pfaff Motorsports. Way to go. Coming up on our second guest segment, meeting rising Canadian sports car star, 18-year-young Roman DeAngelis, who's absolutely killing the Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Canada Series. You're going to enjoy it. Drag racing, NHRA's Mile High Nationals at Denver, Colorado. Yes, the winner, Steve Torrance, that's his eighth Wally of the year. That now ties him with legend Don Garlitz for career Top Fuel wins with 35. Tommy Johnson Jr., his second Wally of the season, winning Funny Car. The Pro Stocks were in action, and Greg Anderson was the winner at the Mile High Nationals. The Rally News is a presentation of the Subaru WRX and WRX STI, creating those monster sales. In fine voice tonight, Rally America's New England Forest Rally. This is in Newry, Maine. Subaru Canada Team USA does it again. Former guest David Higgins and his co Craig Drew, leading start to finish pretty much in their Subaru WRX STI, only 0.04 of a second over Soberg and Girardet in their STI. Subaru 1-2 in this one. Bikes, Canadian Superbike round 4, the doubleheader at Atlantic Motorsports Park in Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia, for News 95.7. Points leader Ben Young inching ever closer to his first ever national superbike title. He won race one. Tense, though, when Young and series dominator Jordan Zoke touched, sending Jordan off onto the grass and Young sailing on for the win. But in race two, delayed by rain and in the wet conditions, Zoke struck back big time to win race number two, but Young will leave the Maritimes with a wide 59-point lead on Jordan Zoke in the Canadian Superbike Championship. Faces in the pits, the richest sprint car race in the game this year goes to the man known as the Big Cat for Casey Kane Racing. That would be, yep, Brad Sweet, the Grass Valley, California native, won his second King's Royal at Eldora Speedway, this time banking the $175,000 first prize. Since the inception of the King's Royal back in 1984, it's always paid at least $50,000 to win. Still one of the largest payouts for sprint car racing anywhere. However, for the 36th anniversary of this race at Eldora, the track, by the way, if you didn't know, managed by Canadian Roger Slack, track owner Tony Stewart raised it to the largest purse ever, $175,000. Wow. The Royal also saw the return of Sage and three-time Royal winner Sammy Swindell in his son Kevin's car. Yeah, and Sammy finished a very respectable seventh. He just might be the hottest driver in dirt modifieds on dirt right now. St. Catharines modified veteran Matt Williamson. Matty has won 3 of 4 dirt car 358 modified series races and a pair of back-to-backs as well. Hot streak continuing at Mohawk as Williamson parked his Bicknell chassis modified built by fellow Garden City icon Pete Bicknell and staff that includes Matt's dad Randy in victory lane for a fourth time in 4 nights, padding his season's points lead. So this is really a family effort. Williamson's also been running away with 358 modified totals at his local ovals, Merrittville and Ransomville Speedways. What a season young Williamson has been having. And that'll do it for this week on the Race Wrap. Questions, opinions, comments, always need to hear from you. Share your thoughts and theories with fellow gearheads across Canada. Could win you the grand prize in the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest if you qualify to win the thing. This week's contest play is just around the corner. All right, Jacob, pit stop, please. But once back to green, Media Center post-race sound, which Toronto Indy winner Simon Pagenaud, then Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Canada star Roman DeAngelis. This is Raceline presented by Subaru. A range of performance drive this week at your local Subaru dealer. Anywhere along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Joseph Newgarden, and you're listening to Raceline Radio. Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher.
Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority, the Raceline Radio Network. It was a thing of beauty to watch Penske Racing's Flying Frenchman Simon Pagenaud totally dominate this year's version of the Toronto Indy. The best and fastest car right off the hauler. He was tops in every practice session, scored the pole, and went green to checkers in the race for his first career win in Toronto, third of the season for this year's Indianapolis 500 winner. So once again, let us sneak you into the Toronto Indy Media Center for some post-win sound with a very fast and very happy guy, Simon Pagenaud, on Raceline Radio.
Happy Bastille Day.
Thank you.
So Simon Pagenaud, Team Penske, joins us. Third win of the year, first at Toronto, 14th of your career, and you're now within 39 points of the championship. Sounds like almost a perfect day.
Yeah, it was. What a great day. What a great weekend. Really, we were really hooked up all weekend with a fantastic race car. Super proud for DXC Technology. They came here with a big group and... I wanted to get them another win. So, we've got a win with the Menards car, one with the DXC Technology car, which is really important for our partners, Team Penske. These guys are supporting our program so well, not only obviously as being partner on the race car, but also on the support side of racing with all the technology they bring. It helps us being better on the racetrack. So that's very important to us. And then it's Bastille Day in France, obviously. So, being able to win for France after winning Indianapolis is quite a special year. So I'm very proud to fly the French flag here in a cousin country, which is Canada. So I'm really excited and proud. So I guess the French guy is leading the Tour de France today on the bike. So I felt like I had to do the same and super proud.
We would look for nervous moments in the day, but I don't think there were any other than Dixon was closing on you at some point. But it was looked pretty stress-free.
Yes, the beginning was, the first corner was pretty delicate. We managed. Then we took off, and the car on the red tires held on really well, and we definitely had an advantage on the tire wear, which I knew we had a really good race car. So we were able to match... fuel number really well. Again, Chevy did such a phenomenal job with power and fuel economy this weekend that really helped us to perform even better. So thanks to them. And then on the black Firestone tires, we're really strong. It's just trying to make the fuel and passing the back markers at the end was very complicated. So I just played the game with Dixon to make sure I was covering myself through turn one and three, and then save fuel the rest of the lap, not to catch the back markers. So that wasn't very fun for the leaders or for the fans. But if I was trying to pass them, I would use a lot of fuel, and they were making it quite difficult. So I just use my experience to be smart there.
Questions? We'll start over here in the back.
Is this the first time since May the 500 that you entered a weekend with the mentality of coming out on top? You seem to really have a real strong approach to May and just getting the job done. Is this the first time you've returned to that?
Yes. Detroit and Texas is a different story, but Detroit was not the way I wanted to run a race weekend. But you see, when I'm well prepared, I can do the job. So, I've shown it before, and it's just a matter of being in that zone. Certainly the car was phenomenal this weekend, so it really was a matter of understanding how to extract the maximum out of it and stay on that aggressive level. And I kept driving hard all weekend while still having some margin except in qualifying. So we were always a little bit ahead of the competition while not taking too much risk, and that really was a comfortable zone. Definitely a good approach, certainly. I'm still working on that to make sure that it happens every races. But, there are days that stars align really well for you, and it's days that they're really the easiest day in racing. It's just a matter of executing. And there are days where it's more difficult, but in those days you learn a lot more and you become stronger.
Next question comes in the back.
One, two. There he goes. Rudy Blair, Rudy Blair Entertainment Media. At what point did you know that Scott Dixon was right behind you, especially when he was a second behind you and then half a second? And how did you keep ahead of him, especially on those last 15 laps?
Well, I knew the gap with Scott. You know, Scott is a really good racer. He's a five-time champ, so you know he's gonna be there at the end. And I knew that was going to be the case. So I built the gap at the beginning to be safe over the pit sequence. And then at the end, when I saw the back markers, I knew that was his chance to come back. So what I did is I just, once I figured out that Hunter Ray was using push to pass, I could use my push to pass, but I was using a lot of fuel doing so, and I was putting myself at risk.
And not much risk over the entire weekend. There he is, Toronto Indy winner in dominating fashion, Simon Pagenaud for Penske Racing on Raceline Radio, courtesy of IndyCar Media. After winning the Indy 500, the Indy GP, and now Toronto to get closer to the points top. If anybody thought his job at Penske was in jeopardy, well, you may want to forget that, if you like. Alrighty, Jacob, work up another pit stop here, but still to come, the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. Then we meet Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Canada teen sensation Roman DeAngelis. This is the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Robert Wickens, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Canada's National Radio Motorsport Authority. Yes, the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas. Good to have you here. Have a look at my Thomas Tales columns at Inside Track Motorsport News Magazine and on the web at sportsnet.ca. New issue of Inside Track out. Saw it distributed at the Toronto Indy, and there is a Thomas Tales column in there on the Eastern Museum of Motorsport that I think you're going to enjoy, because we're still talking about that amazing little place. Away we fly once again, certainly, with our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest, another grand prize pack to win if you qualify by answering the Subaru trivia questions correctly in your emailed comments. And if you do that, we salute you, and your entry will go in to the break drum with a winner drawn at random at the end of the on-track racing season. The qualifying trivia question you need to answer to qualify, and we still haven't changed this. I'm not sure exactly why, because Don is away maybe. Well, I think Jacob is going to let me do this. With the 2019 Subaru WRX STI, at what RPM is peak power achieved with a 310 horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? I better read that again. With the 2019 Subaru WRX STI, at what RPM, revolutions per minute, is peak power achieved with a 310 horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? Okay? Use Eric at RaceLineRadio.ca to connect with us and enter the trivia contest and your chance to win the prize pack. That's Eric at RaceLineRadio.ca. That's capital E-R-I-K at RaceLineRadio.ca to connect and enter the trivia contest to win the prize pack. Let us now try and get ourselves over here to the mailbag. It's under a bunch of stuff. Here it is. Here we go. Maxine Pojango. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. There's a lot of letters in that one. I hope I'm doing that. Maxine, if not, well, I apologize. Anyway, she listens on TSN 1260 in Edmonton, Saturday mornings at 7 o'clock Mountain Time. And we're just so darn happy that she does, along with a lot of other good racing fans in the province of Alberta. Trivia question, she says, E.T., your Subaru WRX STI peak horsepower achieved with the 310 turbocharged boxer engine is so many RPMs. And she's got it correct. Way to go, Maxine. You're in the brake drum just like that. Now, she can enter as many times as she wants. She knows that she's got the right answer. I'm not going to give it away on the air. But, you know, we're pretty good with this contest. You know, we want lots of entries, and we do get lots of entries. So we try and keep our rules to a minimum. Anyway, Maxine signs off by saying, love your show. Eric, I'm a big Formula One fan. And you know what? We are, too. There may be some shirts and ties out there trying to wreck that, but that's the series at least. But I have a lot of faith that it's going to be okay. And, of course, we normally hear every week, or pretty darn close to, Wendy Hollis, the Merrittville Maniac, the lovable maniac as she is. She calls herself that. That's not me. Anyway, she listens faithfully on News Talk 610, CKTB St. Catharines live, 8 o'clock on Sunday nights as we're talking, and the replay Saturday afternoons at 4 o'clock. Eric, I have a question for you. Well, you can ask away. I don't profess to know the answer, to all of them at least. What does it mean when a charter in NASCAR is purchased by another group or team? I heard a commentator on an American station upset that Justin Haley had won the July race at Daytona. He was ranting about the charter and that the people who had it from Furniture Row were basically a race and park team and that they were acting as agents for other teams. Please help unscramble a muddled up mind as well as a nosy one. I'd also say sour grapes to that guy complaining. I can't help but think that the racing god smiled on young Justin Haley that day and that hopefully it'll be a big boost to his confidence and the beginning of many, many more in his career. We need new blood if NASCAR is to survive. Basically, a charter is a form and a membership that you pay, like IndyCar, and I think F1 has it as well, where you're more or less telling everybody you're going to run all the races. Well, the Furniture Row charter, of course, used to be with Martin Truex Jr. and Canadian crew chief Cole Pern before they departed over to Joe Gibbs Racing. I don't know all the ramifications of it. I heard it that, yeah, it was a race and park thing and you're representing another team and is the win legal? I would look at it this way. I don't profess to know all the ramifications of this, but do you think that if it was illegal for them to do this, that Justin Haley would have been allowed to A, enter the race at Daytona and B, win it? And have the win stand if it wasn't legal? You know what I mean? So it was all legal beagle for him to be there. Whether some people thought there was something funky with the charter or not, I don't know. But NASCAR thought it was okay. Justin Haley wins that race. I mean, you know, you got weathered into it, but that's okay. If it was illegal, I don't think NASCAR would allow it to stand. But anyway, that's how you look at that. She goes on to say, Wendy Hollis does, I agree with your rant about Robert Wickens on last week's show. It must be a part-time sportscaster who works one day a week and doesn't do his homework. I wonder if he found his information on Donald Trump's Facebook page, just saying. Yeah, I was taking the national newscaster to task on the newscast before he went on the air on CHML, our co-flagship station, last week, that he said that Robert Wickens was rejoining IndyCar when all he did was do the parade lap around the racetrack, which is a totally different thing. And I took the guy to task, and a lot of people agreed with my rant. Anyway, send us your contest entries or comments. Use Eric at RacelineRadio.ca to connect and enter the trivia question with the WRX STI. At what RPM is peak power achieved in the 310 horsepower turbocharged boxer engine? Okay, let's crack off another pit stop, Jacob. Then we get back at it with rising Canadian racing star Roman DeAngelis. This is Raceline presented by Subaru for the ultimate in performance handling. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe this week along the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Jenson Button, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
National Radio Motorsport Authority. Yes, our 27th consecutive season on the air across Canada. We are the Raceline Radio Network. Been working on a very nice long list of young up-and-coming Canadian racing stars this season, as that mandate to chart the Canuck kids coming up through the ranks has been as vibrant as ever. One series we follow closely in our Continental Tire Sports Car Report is the very decent Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Series, with our good friend Daniel Ponzini handling the media. You know, we've talked about Red Deer Alberta's Parker Thompson and this and his impact, but right now there's an 18-year-old shoe out of Bell River, Ontario, not far from Windsor in AM800 CKLW territory, who's been close to uncatchable, sweeping the last three doubleheader weekends in a row, including Canadian Tire Motorsport Park and the Toronto Indy. So here's a few minutes after lunch at the Indy with Roman DeAngelis on Raceline Radio. Now, as we sit down here, helping the guys with data, when fans hear that, it may go in one ear and out the other. What exactly are you doing when you're doing what you were doing?
Yeah, so basically, he's one of my teammates from the States. So we also have there's a driver coach. So Yeah, between my engineer and those guys, we just look at the information from the session before.
Right.
So basically, it's a graph with speed, braking, throttle trace, gearing, steering inputs, RPMs, everything. So you just look at that information and compare it to either last year's or somebody else's data. You know, especially it's nice having some teammates you can compare it to. But yeah, basically just look at that and see where you can improve for the session coming up.
Now, Roman, how did you get involved in this sport? The interviews that I've been doing this weekend are all young, up-and-coming drivers. Why this sport, and why not football, basketball, baseball, all those other sports? What drew you to this one in particular?
So my dad was a race fan. My middle name is actually Senna, so that, you know, was,
that helps.
Yeah, so I kind of was bound to, you know, at least like racing. So I did some go-karting when I was younger, and I guess kind of caught the bug. I just always loved it and enjoyed it. I played some travel basketball, some other school sports, and I don't know, nothing really got me, you know, as motivated as this, especially because it's an individual sport. You know, if I'm having a bad day, then it's pretty much screwed. So you always have to be on your top game. Don't make any mistakes. You know, you can't just, you know, call your coach and say, I'm going to sit this one out, because, you know, there's people, you know, supporting you a lot and paying a lot of money for you to be here. So it's, I think it's a really competitive sport, and also a pretty professional sport. So I like the area I'm at right now. So
yeah, the magical word here is discipline, because if you have that, you can be consistent, and you can be consistent not only in your lap times, but with victories that we'll talk about in a second. Is that probably the biggest thing you've learned in this to this point, Roman, is that word discipline?
Yeah, I think maybe, but you gotta have to passion and a lot of commitment, you know, to be disciplined. So, you know, if you don't like the sport, then you can't be any of those things. So you have to really have a passion for what you're doing. I go home and, you know, I've had 3 or 4 weekends in a row now, so I go home and I'm wanting to lay down and hang out for a few days, but then, you know, when those 2 days are done, I'm like, wow, I really need to get back in a car. I'm really bored. So yeah, we just kind of that's how you know you have a passion for what you're doing. So
as a teenager, not necessarily what many would think would be a normal lifestyle. Then there's also the education thing to concern yourself about. How do you balance this with getting a proper education? Because I know it ain't easy.
Yeah, I get that question a lot, and the answer is I really don't know. I've found a way somehow to be able to, you know, pull through and get my grades. I'm actually going into engineering next year at the University of Windsor, so. But I honestly don't really
know. That's a tough course, man. That's a tough stream.
Yeah, it's not easy, but I mean, I don't really know how we've been able to do so well in both, I guess, to this point. I work pretty hard at both of them, but it's, I mean, with the schedule, it physically doesn't make sense for me to even be doing as good as we're doing in both, just with how much commitment you have. So, I think a lot of people, you know, they see all the stuff that goes on here and, you know, they think like, it's easy, these guys just come to the track and, you know, hang out, race cars, and they got it good. But it's not easy with the between like the physical and mental training that goes into it, as well as, you know, the school I'm working, and so that, all that stuff always adds into it.
Roman DeAngelis on Raceline Radio from Windsor in CKLW land is where the show is carried. You just came off a weekend where you swept both races, and you're in a series where it's not uncommon for you to bang off 2 races in 1 weekend, which is a little bit, still a bit of an oddity for a lot of the series. But when you sweep weekends like that, what is that? I mean, it's maybe an obvious question. What's it do for your confidence? But I mean, you know, when you can stay on top, not only in the first race, but the second race as well.
I think it's really important to have these weekends, because not only is it confidence for you, but it does stuff to your competitors that also works in your advantage. It's a huge mental game. I had a teammate last year who, you know, was a pretty good driver, I'd say. He, you know, won a lot of the races. I think I only beat him once last year, so I think I was the only person in North America to beat him last year. So it just shows, you know, how competitive he was. And for me, it was like, if you come up these double weekends and, you know, you're getting swept every weekend, it's like, man, like, what do I need to do to get better? So, you know, you start thinking about all this stuff that's kind of irrelevant. So I think it's important not only just for your confidence, but for your competitors' confidence the other direction to sweep weekends, because, you know, it just shows that you're the guy to beat, and you're hopefully putting a commanding lead on the championship, and that's what we're trying to do. So it kind of leads others into mistakes because they're pushing too hard trying to do what you're doing. So it's more for me just points. I just want to win a championship. I don't really care about winning races too much at this point. I'm just trying to grab points. It's always nice to win races when you can, but I mean, the guy's going to remember somebody who wins a championship, not the guy who, you know, won a Toronto race one. So I'm here to do that. So
one of the things we're noticing with your success is the fact that you get out front and you stay there, and they're all chasing you. And it's obvious that you'd rather be the rabbit that all the hounds are chasing. But then you cocked your head there funny. Maybe that's not ideal, is it?
I think it's important to show that you can do that. But also all the races where I've had to start, like I started last in Mossport the first race, I started fourth the second race, those races are the most fun because not only are you showing that, you know, you're quicker than most people and that, you know, you can win races, but you're also showing that you're not just a guy who can, you gets out front and throws laps down. You're a guy who can battle through traffic. And I think the three or four races that we've had to do that this year, we've ended up, you know, coming out on top, and it just shows that we're not just a guy who can just drive by himself. We can be competitive, and
we can pass guys.
Yeah, we can throw it in there on a few people. So it was fun to have those, and they're a lot more exciting, those races as well, because they go by a lot quicker because
you're busier.
You're always busy and you're fighting, and it's that's the racing I like. That's the racing I enjoy. So we always search for those, you know, kind of moments where you have a good competitor to battle with. So,
Roman, if I was to ask you to describe your racing style, how would you do that?
Oh man, my style. Like, it depends, I guess. Depends on the race. Some races, I guess, where we're out front, where, you know, I'd say I'm consistent. I'm clean. I hope I don't make a lot of mistakes. I try not to. But you know, the races where I'm, you know, fourth or fifth battling it out, I'd say I'm pretty aggressive.
Need to be.
Yeah, I'm not dirty whatsoever. I'll never drive anybody, you know, dirty. I'm just not that kind of person. I have respect for my sponsors and how much, you know, they put forward into my racing and how much the cars cost. So I'm not here to bang up cars, but you know, I like good wheel to wheel battles, and I like fighting with people out there. So I'd say I'm a bit aggressive in traffic, but I'm clean when it's, you know, when the time is right. So
pretty good traits. I think anybody would agree with that. Do you have any racing heroes? Who do you really admire in the game? Is, you know, F1 people, IndyCar people, even NASCAR people? Do you have anybody you really, really like and say, "By that, I kind of like his style"?
Yeah, I love Ayrton Senna. Even though my middle name's Senna, I think even if it wasn't, I'd still somehow, you know, get pulled to, you know, the stuff he's done and what he said. And he's just pure mind power, that guy, just the way he drives. And I'm also, I guess I look up to my teammate last year, Zach Robichon. He's a friend of mine, so I couldn't say I idolize him, but you know, like, I really look up to what he did and, you know, how good of a driver he is. I think last year he was pretty underrated. I think what he did last year, both sides of the border, is pretty amazing. I'm trying to, you know, replicate that this year, and I'll tell you, it's really not easy what he was doing. And I'd say last year in the States was probably the most competitive championship I've ever raced in my life, even before Zach entered, and he brought the level of that up. So it's pretty, I think that says numbers right there.
Always learning, right?
Yeah, always. It's, you know, you learn more when you're getting your butt kicked than, you know, leading out front for, you know, 45 minutes. So you have to drive a lot harder, and I learned a lot last year, and I think just my performance last year to this year, that translated. So
I've enjoyed this immensely, and it's been a tremendous amount of fun watching you in the series and the GT3 Cup Challenge with Porsche. So continued success for the balance of the season. Thank you, Roman.
Thank you. Yeah.
Very smart, very fast young man turning heads at the top of the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge Canada Series. 18-year young Roman DeAngelis on Raceline Radio. Big brain, big talent. All right, Jacob, let's set up for that final pit stop and come on back for the last lap for next week's show lineup and a few more things. This is Raceline, presented by Subaru, powered by the heart-pounding WRX STI, 14-time Canadian Rally Manufacturers Champion on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Alex Zanardi, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Eric Thomas. Lewis, Raceline Across Canada on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag signaling, one more lap to do so. Here's what's in the warm-up lanes for you for next week. Time to go sideways and toss a little clay as we meet up again with dirt-modified icon and Canadian Motorsport Hall of Famer Pete McNell as we get now into some important trail races. One of those at Ransomville Speedway next month, so we'll chat again with Big RGM Jennifer Martin to set it all up there, plus more of your entries and notes for the Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. Unanimous Raceline thanks going out to Simon Pagenaud, Mike Long, James Hinchcliffe, and IndyCar Media, Roman DeAngelis, Danny Ponzini, and Porsche GT3 Challenge Cup Canada Media. Thanks to Supreme Commander Jacob Smith in for Donna Pollard and Josh Santos for production and operational excellence. So from all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru, has been driven by the Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Subaru, confidence in motion. Learn more at Subaru.ca. By the Subaru BRZ, the 2019 Raceline Radio Network Special Events Summer Cruiser. And by Continental Tire, for what you do. Talk to y'all again next week, and we'll do it right here on Raceline Radio.